Morning. Good to be here. In case you're wondering, it's in the bulletin who I am. I'm Bill Stewart. I'm Murray's dad. Proud to be. Pamela, his mother, is sitting there by him, of course, who has been my inspiration for the last many years. But it's good to be in Liberty. Let me give you just a brief update. You have been helping the ministry I'm involved in for roughly 22 years. I have been employed by the Bear Valley Bible Institute in Denver, Colorado for 22 years. 5 years ago, I started a new ministry added to what I was doing, called Church of Christ Plants International. After a request by a guy in China that was a graduate of Bear Valley, said, Bill, you need to go to Mongolia and plant the Lord's church. There's not one in the whole country. I said, you're kidding. Nope, he said, I've been up there several times. And I thought, well, somebody ought to go. And you know, that's when you find out that you are somebody. You go. Been there 5 times. Got an active congregation working there now. One of the men that I was able to teach and baptize 2 years ago is now a student in Bear Valley in Denver. Doing a great job learning and growing. And he will go back to that country as the permanent missionary and permanent Mongolian. Been to Moldova, been to Ukraine. This next year we plan to plant a church in Brazil, in Armenia, which is one of the former Soviet Union countries, of course, and also a country you may not have ever heard of it, Vietnam. Now, if anyone wants to go help plant a church in a large city or a country that has none, does not know about the Church of Christ, show me your hands, because you can sure show me your hand. You didn't hear me, did you? I love teaching God's Word. I love working with Bear Valley. I love preaching meetings. I love meeting people. And way up there with all of that is going somewhere where people do not know about the Lord. And they do not know about the Lord's church. And being able to start one. And then we continue with Skype. And I'm sure all of you are on Skype. And a lot of you are saying, what? Well, it's a computer program. Of course, you can talk to them. They can talk to you. You can see them on your computer. They can see you. And so we continue to be of help to them. However, in Mongolia, we have a man that has moved there from Oklahoma that has been preaching several years. He and his wife and 3 children. And they're going to be there for the next 2 years while Eric, our Mongolian student, is at Bear Valley. So thank you for reaching out, not only in this country, but thank you for helping support me while I'm reaching out into countries all over the world. While in Fiji, Pam and I were there just a couple of weeks ago. We have a Bear Valley school there. We also have one in New Zealand that we were at the week before that. But while we were in Fiji, the director of our Bear Valley school said, Bill, there are about 300 islands in the South Pacific. Whoa, I didn't know that. He said 106 of them are inhabited. Most of them do not know anything about the Church of Christ. Will you come back here and help me plant churches on all of these islands? Now, a show of hands. Who wants to go? Kelly's got her hand up higher, hon, so everybody can see it. There's opportunities everywhere for the Lord's church to be planted and encouraged and nourished all over the world. Somebody has got to go. Okay. I'll go. And I think by you helping me do this financially, then you're going with me. You help send me. You take me there. So God bless you and thank you. Okay, later on, I guess, Roger, I'm going to meet with the elders for a few minutes to give them a little bit more of an update. So if you want to know more about the Church Plant International, talk to one of your elders. They're supposed to keep up with it. In fact, I think they've volunteered to go with me, haven't you? Where'd the elders go? You notice in the bulletin, don't worry, be happy. You remember that song? I love that thing. It had no rhyme or reason, didn't really have a tune, but it had a point. Don't worry, be happy. And if you realize in the Bible, that's a command. It's not a suggestion. All of us can be happy. And we don't have to worry about anything. In fact, I'm going to show that to you this morning in the book of Philippians. There was a young man that read our scripture a few moments ago. Didn't he do a great job? Man, you got some talent here for the next how many years? Many years. But the book of Philippians is what I'd like to talk about this morning. I want to thank Stephen, of course, for him letting me do this. And I say him letting me do this, elders. But this is Stephen's pulpit, not mine. And so for him to give that up for one Lord's Day to let me speak to you, I appreciate that, Steve. Anyway, here's a church that we find in Acts chapter 16. You remember in Acts chapter 16, we have, oh, I got more water. I mean, I got enough up here to have a baptism. Well, if I sprinkled, we do, but, or if I poured. Here we have a church in Acts chapter 16, Philippi. We all book of Philippians. In Philippi, Paul went there with Silas, you remember. He was going with Barnabas, but in chapter 15, he and Barnabas had a little tiff over John Mark. And so Barnabas takes Mark with him, and he goes on missionary journeys that we don't hear about yet. And then Paul chooses Silas, and he and Silas then go plant churches. And so here we find Paul and Silas going into Philippi, and they're preaching. But there's a young woman there that really gives them some problems. And Paul, as a preacher will do, and I can see him do it, and I bet you can too, he turns to the woman and he points at her, you know, the preacher's point. And I'm sure Paul, being a preacher, he pointed to this woman and says, I command you, by the power of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. Whew! And immediately the evil spirit that she was governed by came out of her. But the guys that owned her now, they're not receiving any money. If you want to get someone's attention, affect their pocketbook. And you can get their attention in a hurry. And so they call them before the council, city council, and they began to say, these men come here. They teach customs that are not lawful for us being not Christians, not followers of God, customs of Rome. Because they're saying that there's another king besides Caesar. Well, of course, they beat them, throw them in prison, as you well know there in Acts 16. And about midnight, if I was there with one of you, probably what would we be doing? Oh, man. Complaining? Yeah. My back's hurting. They ought to hit me on the head two or three times. They'll What was Paul and Silas doing about midnight? Singing. Can you see Silas looking over at Paul? He couldn't see him because they were in the inner, get my throat cleared. They were in the inner prison. Electricity was off probably. You couldn't see the hand in front of your face. There were other prisoners tied up with them. And what was Paul and Silas doing? I can hear Silas say, "Paul, why don't we sing a couple of stanzas of 728B? You know that song, don't you? I know it's not in 728B in our books now. I don't know why they changed that. Because then all you'd have to do was announce, right? Let's turn to 728B and you start singing, "There is..." Boy, everybody knows it. Oh well. Here they are at midnight singing 728B. Well, my preference. Earthquake came, destroyed the whole prison, loosened their chains, and they could leave. Them and all the prisoners could leave. But they didn't. Jailer comes in, you know the story. Going to kill himself because he knew all his prisoners were gone. Back in Acts chapter 12, when Peter walked out of the prison because God opened the doors, what happened to the guards that were supposed to be guarding him? They were all killed. And so the jailer knew that I'm not going to live through this because I know my prisoners are gone. And so he's going to kill himself. And what did Paul do? "Hey, hold it. Stop right there. None of us have gone. See, all your prisoners are here." Well, what in the world? How can I get out of this mess? That's what he asked. In fact, in some of our English texts it says, "What must I do to be saved?" He had no clue that he was lost. He was a pagan Roman soldier. He didn't know about Jesus. And so he says, "What can I do to get out of this situation that I'm in?" And Paul said, "Well, to begin with, that's where we would start, isn't it? When someone wants to know how to better their life, what do we tell them? Do you know about Jesus?" Who? Because in the first century, Jesus was a common name. Jesus? Go down to Mexico. You can find it down there also. In fact, I was in Paraguay, in Honduras several years ago teaching in our school there. And my interpreter, because I don't speak Spanish, my interpreter was Jesus. Jesus. And I thought, man, could I have a better interpreter in the world? Jesus is interpreting for me. So it doesn't matter what I say, he'll fix it. He'll straighten it out. Of course, that was his name. That's what his parents gave him whenever he was born, and he went with it, Jesus. Nevertheless, they were baptized, the jailer and his family, and Paul the next day went on his way rejoicing. Now we have the book of Philippians. Paul, back in jail again, this time in Rome. And he writes what we call the Pauline epistles. He writes to the Philippian church, the Colossian church. He also talks about Hierapolis in Thessalonians. And he talks about all of these different cities that he had been in, and he writes them letters. And that's what we have today. And so he writes the one to... Now, they were having some struggles. We see in chapter 4... Verse 2 and 3, a couple of girls, a couple of sisters, Eudoia and Syntyche, were having difficulties. They were having all kind of problems. And so Paul admonishes them, "Hey, help these girls." Now, what was their problem? Well, we don't know, but we can read the letter and kind of find out, Here was some of their problems, evidently, because that's what Paul addresses. Now, there's four short chapters in the book of Philippians. Each one of them, I would say, are relatively easy to outline, to define. Because each one of them have one major point and many minor points, of course. Because in the book, four chapters, Paul mentions the word joy or rejoice 16 times. What's the point of the book? Oh, hello? That's called exegesis. It's be happy. Don't worry. There's the whole book of Philippians. In fact, Paul refers to himself, I, my, me, 120 times in those four chapters. The theme, the topic of the entire book, Jesus is mentioned 50 times. Man, you're talking about an informative book in four little short chapters. God knew what He was doing. Holy Spirit knew what He was doing when He encouraged Paul with this letter. And so here He writes them. Chapter 1, let's look at it. In chapter 1, He begins, of course, by introducing the book. He begins by telling them what a blessing they have been to Him. He tells them that all of us are going to have circumstances in our life. We all do. You ever had a flat tire? You ever run out of gas? You ever get fired? You ever get sick? You ever have circumstances that just seem to, irritate you? And Paul did. And he said, hey, don't worry. Be happy. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, one of my favorite verses in the whole book. Now I consider that all of the things that have happened to me, now, if we had time to go through all of the things that bad that happened to Paul, he lists those in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 22, you know. Oh. And he writes a whole paragraph of beating, shipwrecks, and everything else, stonings that he had to go through. Now, I consider that all of these things that happened to me have fallen out rather to the progress of the gospel. Larry's mentioned that this morning, wouldn't you, Larry, in your class. Bad things happen to good people? Yeah. How are we going to look at them? And Paul says, hey, whether it's good or whether it's bad, some people don't like me. Now, can you imagine that? Some people don't like you. Can you imagine that? You can't. Every one of us in here, some people don't like you. And it doesn't matter what it is they have against you. They don't like you. And Paul said, I'm the same way. Well, there's some people didn't like Jesus. You know what they did to Him. But he said, then on the other hand, some people do. And whether they like me or don't like me, as long as they are preaching the gospel, I am satisfied. Because I had liked, verse 21 on following, I'd much rather die and go be with the Lord. That's our objective, isn't it? But it's needful for me to stay here. I need to stay here for you. In verse 23, he says, and I'm really, we call it between a rock and a hard place. You remember that? I'm in a strait betwixt two, he said. Like to depart and be with Christ, which is, he starts to say better. And then he says, which is far better. And in my English it says, which is very far better. Amen to that. It would be. Because he says, I want you to end up with me. But in verse 27, underline verse 27. He says, I want your life to be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to ask ourselves that question every day. Is my life worthy of the gospel of Jesus? Or I just kind of take it for granted? Because he goes on to say in the next two verses, not only have, verse 29 and 30, not only have we been given the right to believe in Jesus. That's a right. That's a privilege, brethren. And we like to put a period there. We not only have the right to believe in Jesus, but we also have the right to, what's that word, next word he says? Suffer on his behalf. We got a right to suffer on his behalf. Had Paul done any suffering? Oh my. He really had. We'll see some more of it here later when we get chapter 3. But Paul suffered for Christ, and we have a right to do the same thing. We may have to be called on to suffer. And if you are, you're in pretty good company. Jesus says, you're following in my steps. Paul even said the same thing. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so we're not going to let any circumstance enter in. We're not going to let what someone said hinder my walk with Christ. And have you ever heard of people that get their feelings hurt because the preacher said something wrong? Or one of the elders, or maybe all of the elders made a decision that I didn't like. After all, the church was created for my benefit, wasn't it? And so they get their feelings hurt and they leave. And they go to church somewhere else, maybe a denominational church or something. Their faith was in people, not in Christ. If our faith is in Jesus Christ, you're not running me away. My faith is in Him, and this is His body. I'm not leaving. You're going to have to put up with me. There is true faith in Christ. And accepting bad language, accepting reproach, accepting something that was said against you, it's going to happen. Then he tells us in chapter 2, here are people to follow. And of course, our passage read a few moments ago, if there be any exhortation or encouragement in Christ, if there be any consolation of love, if there be any spirit, if there be any unity, he says, I want you to consider other people. Verse 3 and 4, one guy was saying on teaching on this out Bear Valley not too many years ago, and he got to those verses and he said, don't think about yourself. Think about others. Keep your mind on the needs of other people. And he said, now, that's meat. You know, that's not milk. And said, one guy raised his hand, he called on him, he says, that's not meat, that's gristle. Yeah, it sure is. Man, that is tough to chew. But we are supposed to chew it. Did Jesus, what did he say in verse 5? Have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Did Jesus always have His eyesight on Himself? Never. Never. He always had His eyes on us, doing what was best for each of us. Never what was best for Him. Have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who existed in the very form. I like that word form there. Form. You know, it makes something. Your girls ever made a, they call it bunt, and a bunt cake. You got to have a bunt pan, don't you, girls? That's all designed and, you know, down in there. And you pour the batter in there, put it in the oven and bake it, and then you turn that thing out after it's baked and it comes out on your table. What does it look like? It looks like the pan. It's a bundt cake. It looks like the bundt pan. As the form of it. The word there is morphe. M-O-R-P-H-E. Morphe. Okay, what does that mean? Morphe means an exact likeness. having the exact likeness of deity. How do you have the exact likeness of deity? He's deity. Jesus is God. Hello. The newsreel today, right? No, you knew Jesus was deity. Jesus is God. He was God on earth, became flesh. Wow. And he also, verse 6 and verse 7, he took the form of a slave. Yeah. Took the form of a slave for us. The word there is form, morphe. Was he kind of acting like a servant? No, he was. Greatest servant ever lived. There's the form that he's talking about that Jesus Christ really is. In fact, in E. Stanley Jones' book, if you ever get a chance, look on abebooks.com or somewhere where you can find it, and not in print anymore, called Victory Through Surrender. One of the best little books. It's a small book. It won't take you a couple hours to read it. It's the longest. One of the things Mr. Jones says in his book from this text, he says, Jesus makes 7 steps down. And then in verses 9 through 11, he takes, or God, the Father, gives him 7 steps back up. Oh, I thought, we must humble ourselves. What did Luke say? Luke 7, Luke 14. If you humble yourself, God will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, God will humble you too. And so here we find Paul telling them, let's imitate Christ. Imitate Jesus in their life. You won't have any problem. A lot of times I've preached meetings in congregations, and one of the elders will talk to me, you know, and say, hey, Bill, won't you teach auditorium class too? I say, oh. Okay, I can do that. What subject you want me to teach on? Whatever you want, you know, you just pick one. Just make sure it's biblical. I said, okay. How about Philippians 2:14? Yeah, that'll be fine. That's fine. You know what Philippians 2:14 says? Paul points his finger again. The Holy Spirit points his finger and says, I want you to do everything you do and don't you ever complain. You know that was a command? It's a command that you are not to be unhappy. You are to be happy with any circumstance that comes our way. Man, that's difficult. Oh, we didn't say Christianity is going to be easy. It's going to be difficult, but it's going to be worth it. He says, do everything you do without ever uttering a word of complaint. When I teach that class, and an auditorium class messes up everybody's week. Takes away half of our conversation, doesn't it? Man, it's hot. Oh, it's so cold. Whatever, we got to complain about something. Pam and I were traveling one time. In fact, we was going to Ulysses, Kansas. I remember just as well. I was going to preach a meeting for them. And we were discussing that. And I said, honey, I want you to help me. When you hear me complain about something, please tell me. And she said, okay. Well, we was driving along. It wasn't 10 minutes. I was saying something, and she didn't catch it. I caught myself. I don't know what I was complaining about, but I was saying something negative. And I said, you didn't stop me. She said, oh, I didn't notice it. No, we do it so often, it just goes by somehow or another. Stop complaining. He says, if you continue to complain, it'll show that you are ungrateful with what God has done for you. You are not pure. You are leaving a handle. You're leaving something sticking out that, should not be out there. And you are not seen as lights in the universe. Ooh, don't ever complain. He says, now, use me. Besides using Christ, he said, use me, verse 17 and 18. Use me as an example in your faith. Oh, number three, use Timothy. Oh, he said, I don't have anyone like Timothy. Oh, Timothy is number four. Here's the one I really like. I like Timothy too, but we name our kids after him, right? Epaphroditus. Oh, you name your kid after him? I don't want you to call him for short. Ip, you know. Epaphroditus. He said, you sent him here with some money to help take care of me and the rest of the guys. Paul wasn't there by himself. He had other guys in prison with him. Read Acts chapter 27, 28. Paul wasn't in prison by himself. He had several there. And Epaphroditus was sent by the church in Philippi in order to take care of the guys in prison. Because they weren't taken care of like they are today, brethren. And they probably didn't have things to eat, to drink, to comfort them. And that's when Paul asked Timothy to bring the books. Oh, and bring my coat, too, before winter gets here. And come to me shortly. Epaphroditus got sick. In fact, Paul said he almost died. Whew. He said, but God had mercy on him. And he had mercy on me. And now I'm sending him back home before he gets sick again. I'm sending him back to you. But use Jesus, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus as examples of people to follow. Chapter 3, point number 3. Chapter 3, don't let things take away your joy. We do. You wreck your car. Oh, no! How am I going to get to work? Oh, and here's a complaint point. You know, oh, I lost this, I lost that. It belonged to God anyway. It wasn't yours. He was letting you use it. Now it's destroyed. Oh, God's car is destroyed. Oh, how sad. Well, he'll give me another one. And he usually does, doesn't he? We don't let anything hinder our belief and trust in God. Verse 7 and verse 8, he says, I learned to give up in order to get. We have to give up in order to get. Verse 7 and 8. And he says, in fact, all the things that I did get, I like the old King James translation here. It translates it actually more accurate than I think any of the rest translation do. He said, all the things that we have, they're just like manure. That's the word. Dung is what King James translates it to, which is accurate. Barnyard fertilizer. It's like the one girl that says, oh, money is kind of like manure. It's only good if you spread it around. Well, that's kind of like money. If you try to hoard it, and stingy and keep it in the palm of your hand, it'll be miserable. But if you spread it around, oh, it can bless more people. He says, don't allow anything to deter you from your goal. I forget about the things that are behind, verse 12 and 13. And I press on to the mark of the goal of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know, we have usually a lot of people say, what's your goal in life? My goal in life, go to heaven. Uh-uh. That's never mentioned as a goal. It's not. Becoming like Jesus is a goal. What is our goal in life? To be just like Jesus. Isn't it? Don't we call ourselves Christ-like, or the word what? Christian, my goal in life is to be just like Christ. And the Father says, He's acting just like Christ. I'm going to reward him. I'm going to reward her because she's acting just like my son. And I'm going to reward her with heaven. Oh, is there a difference between a gold and a reward? Let's be just like Jesus. And in verse 21 he says, because heaven is where we're headed. That's what we're going to receive. Chapter 4, and I know I'm probably out of time. Chapter 4, don't let worry stop your joy. Don't let worry. You ever worry about anything? You're sinning. That's what Paul said. I mean, the Holy Spirit said, not me. I'm just repeating it. Don't let worry. And there's where he talks about, of course, Eudoia and Syntyche. Girls, hadn't I said anything that has pricked your conscience and made you think about what you're doing and how you react to each other? Do you always, Eudoia, do you always put Syntyche's needs before yours?
No.
Well, of course not. That's why they're fighting. That's why they're arguing. That's why they're leaving the church. Well, you didn't do this for me, so I just think I'll just... Can you imagine what they're saying? I'm going to leave the body of Christ, and I'm going to go to hell because you made me mad. That's why our foreheads are flat, you know. We hit it so many times. That's a dumb statement. You're not going to send me to hell. You're not going to do anything to drive me away from Christ. That's impossible. You can't do it. So he says, girls, congregation there in Philippi, help them, would you? And then he says in verse 4. Verse 4, again, one of my favorite verses. Rejoice. Paul writes that in capital letters. Has to. Bold. Underline. And he says, that wrote so good, I've got to write it again. And he does. Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, let me say that again. Rejoice. Don't worry. What? Be happy. And if you will do that and make your prayers, your request, your thanksgiving be made to the Lord. In verse 7, and the peace that passes all understanding, it is, shall dwell in your hearts through faith in Christ Jesus. And of course we say, and I think probably the people in Philippi would say, how do you do that? And Paul probably said, I'm glad you ask. Verse 8. There's the answer. If there be any praise, if there be any truth, if there be any joy, if there be any lovely report, if there be any virtue, think on these things. You know, you can't think of two thoughts at once. God built us in a certain way that if you're worrying or complaining about something, ooh, you switch and say, oh, there is beyond the ash. That's what Paul and Silas did. They started singing and praying God. You know, Oral Hershiser? Hello? Some of you baseball fans pitch for the the Dodgers. They were playing the A's, I think it was, back in maybe the 80s or early 90s, in a World Series. Earl was the MVP. He pitched, won the two games he pitched. He got some hits and drove in. He was outstanding. But he would go in after every inning that he pitched, and he would sit in the dugout, lean his head back against the wall, and close his eyes. Because the cameraman couldn't let that pass. They were talking. Look at Oral. Now you're talking about some guy that's laid back. He goes in and takes a nap. between innings. Oh, and they talked about it and publicized it. Well, I saw him interviewed after the World Series. And the reporter brought it up. Earl, we noticed that between every inning you pitched, you went in and took a nap. He said, oh, no, I didn't take a nap. Well, what were you doing? He said, well, there was so much pressure for me to perform for my team that I could not let that pressure get to me. He said, so I would go in between innings and lean back and close my eyes and I would sing hymns to myself. That's how I would calm myself. I would sing hymns. And here we go again. There he is beyond the... That song was popular back then. Isn't that amazing? It made me think of Oral Hershiser. He just elevated in my opinion. Wow. That's a good lesson. When things are bothering you, sing praises to God. What happens to the worry? Oh, it's gone. It's not there anymore. He says in verse 9 of chapter 4, I've learned these things. And then in chapter 4 and verse 11, he says, if you want to learn how to be happy in whatever state you're in. Now, it doesn't mean Missouri or Colorado or whatever. Whatever situation you're in, you can learn it. And I've got that word underlined in my Bible. Learned. It doesn't happen when you come out of the baptistry. You have to learn it. Then he says in verse 12, I have learned the secret, mine says. I have learned the secret of being happy under any circumstance. And then he ends the chapter, right? No. He writes verse 13, doesn't he? You've got that on a plaque at your house somewhere, don't you? I can do some of the things. No? I can do most of the things. Huh? Oh, is that what it says? I can do all things. What's the rest of it? Through Christ who strengthens me. We can learn that, but it's another thing to practice it. I can do it, brethren, and so can you. Don't ever say I can't. Tell me we don't. Tell me we won't. But don't tell me we can't. It's possible. We can do it through Christ. Because in verse 19, and I'll close. In verse 19, he says, my God will supply all of my wants. No. God will supply all of my needs. But he does supply most of our wants, doesn't he? Because God is so good. So number one, don't let circumstances take away your joy. Number two, follow the right people and you will have the right joy. Number three, don't let possessions, whether you got them or don't have them, take away your joy. And number four, don't let worry, don't let it interfere with your happiness. Because it will kill you. That's the book of Philippians as I know it. Why did God write these little books? Why did He tell Paul and some of the others, James and others, Peter, to write these books to churches? Because they're relative today. They fit us just as well as they fit the first century church. In realizing that, I know that there may be somebody in this large crowd that are letting circumstances govern their happiness. They're letting worry, complaining govern their happiness. They lost some possessions or don't have some, and they let that control whether they're happy or not. And you find out this morning that Paul penned a letter over 2,000 years ago to answer all those questions. If you need help this morning, we're going to sing a song. Call it a song of invitation, song of encouragement, just a time when all of us have the opportunity to say, hey, would you pray for me? I'm having struggles in this area, and I want to be just like Christ. Maybe you're not a Christian here this morning, and you need to. Water's prepared, I'm sure. There's some garments here. You don't have to be baptized in your own clothes and go home wet. No, we got them. We'll take care of any need that God has requested of us while we together stand and sing, please.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend, trust in His promises grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky. When it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by, there are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust Him each day, we shall have pleasures untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today.
Our Holy Father, we are so grateful for Your love for us. We're grateful for the sacrifice that Jesus made that freed us from the burden of sin. Father, we thank You for that love and for that freedom. And I pray, Father, that we respond to that, as Bill mentioned in his message this morning, that we have it as our goal to become more and more like Christ as we live on this earth. That we take on His attitudes, His compassion, His love for other people. Father, we pray that You give us the strength to do just those things, Father. That people can see You living in us and reflecting Your love to everyone that we come in contact with. And so we would be light and salt to this community. Father, we thank You for Jesus. Not only did He free us from our burden of sin and we have heaven to look forward to, but He also gives us the ability and encourages us to pray to Him, to You boldly through Him. And Father, we have some things that we would like to ask of You this morning. Father, thank You so much for this church family. I know that there are many others that are struggling with health issues, emotional issues, spiritual issues. Father, I pray that You be with us all. Help us all, Father, to look out and care for one another and love each other as You have instructed to do us to do. Father, I pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.